2 Timothy 2:3 to 7. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You therefore must endure hardship. You see, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, right? Now, he's giving us a similitude of a soldier. He's giving us a picture, right? A metaphor. This is an allegory. But it's actually true because indeed in the spirit we are soldiers. We are obviously civilian in the physical, but in the spirit we are soldiers. Now, he says, as a good soldier, we have to endure hardship. That means every true soldier, every good soldier endures hardship. They do not give up because things are hard. They do not give up on something they want because it's expensive. They do not give up on something they want because it's above their budget. Endure hardship. As a child of God, as a soldier in the faith, you do not give up when things are tough. All right? This world is not our home. Things are not going to be a walk in the park for us in this world. That's why he says, as a good soldier, endure. There is hardship everywhere, in different places, for different Christians. Some Christians, there is hardship in their homes. Some Christians, there's hardship in their relationships, in their marriages. Some Christians, there is hardship in their body. There is sickness, there is disease that they are battling with. There is hardship everywhere. But he's saying a true child of God does not give up. Hardship of debts. Loans we have made, loan sharks we have gone to. Now, that's a hardship. Some people are faced with that hardship. But it says, as a good soldier, do not allow anything in this world to overwhelm you, to swallow you up. As a good soldier, he says, continue soldiering on. No matter how hard, no matter how difficult. There is no temptation that has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. For with every temptation, with every hardship, God will make a way of escape. So do not give up. No, don't give up. There's hardship as a single parent. I did not make this child or these kids alone, but now I'm the only one that's responsible for them. I'm the only one that is bringing them up. Do not give up as a good soldier. Do not give up. Do not give up. You might be going through a trial in your workplace. Do not give up. You might be going through a trial with your relatives. Do not give up. You might be going through a trial with your in-laws. Do not give up. The trial might be right in your house with your spouse. Your spouse might be a trial, might be a thorn in your flesh. But as a good soldier, your child who doesn't seem to listen to anything that you say, your child who doesn't seem to listen to any form of good sense, or your children that don't seem to hear good sense, that's a trial. But as a good soldier, as a good soldier, don't throw the bathwater with the baby. As a good soldier, don't give up. I say, don't give up. The devil might raise a persecution in the very same thing that is the will of God for you. The devil might raise a persecution with the very person who is your lifetime mate, who is the person that God has planned for you for your life. The devil might raise up a persecution right there. That's why he says, as a good soldier, do not give up until the Lord tells you. The Lord will tell you this pursuit is in vain. So don't pursue it. But if the Lord has not told you, why are you giving up? Why are you giving up? You therefore must endure. It's not a suggestion. You therefore must endure If truly you are born again, you therefore must endure. If truly you are a child of God, you therefore must endure. If truly you belong to Jesus, you therefore must endure. Any and every manner of hardship that comes your way, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You are not your own soldier. You are a good soldier of Jesus. You are not your own soldier. No. Whatever persecution, whatever trial that comes, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that it may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. No one involved, right? Engaged in a warfare. They entangle themselves with the civilian affairs of this life. Right? The civilian is the very opposite of military. Can you see that? Civilian is the very opposite of military. Why? Because that is the flesh. The things of this life. What does the world have? The world has got nothing to offer a child of God. What does the world offer? The world offers flesh. Says in the world, there is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's all the world has. That's why it says, if you are engaged in a warfare, do not involve yourself in the things of the flesh. Civilian is the very opposite of military. Now, if I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ, I am not going to get myself entangled. Right? I'm not going to trip myself up with the things of this life, but I'm going to stand. And if I'm not going to get myself entangled with the things of this life, that means I must be disciplined as a soldier. And that's one of the hallmarks of the military. That's one of the hallmarks of being in the army, that a person must be disciplined. Soldiers, when they're on duty, they don't get themselves entangled with the things of this life, with the affairs of this life. Why? Because of the very nature of what they are doing, it requires discipline. Now, remember what I said. I said this is a metaphor, right? This is a similitude. He's likening us unto soldiers. We are not in the physical, but we are in the spirit. So if you are soldiers of Jesus in the spirit, that means we ought to be disciplined. Be disciplined. The flesh will always place demands on us. Without discipline, we are always going to answer the call of the flesh. The flesh is always going to place demands on us. Not suggestions, but demands. And without discipline, we're going to answer those calls. And when we answer those calls, then the flesh is going to render us ineffective in the army of the Lord. Then the flesh is going to render us ineffective as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Don't get involved. Don't get entangled. Oh, hallelujah. For the sake of the title, I'm not going to look into this, but for the sake of the title of the message, we're going to continue because today's just part one. It says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider, I love verse 7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now you see, soldiers, athletes and farmers, consider what I say. He say, please pay attention to what I'm saying. Focus on what I'm saying. Meditate on what I'm saying. What does it mean to be a soldier? And what does it take to be one? All right? The hallmarks of being a soldier, the hallmarks of being in the army, discipline is key. There ought to be discipline. There is authority. And there is submission and obedience to that authority. You see, these things are key in the army. If we are soldiers of Jesus, we are soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we ought to be disciplined. Right? Because how else are we going to rein in the desires of our flesh without discipline? How else are we going to say no to this and say no to that without discipline? Because remember, a soldier was once a civilian. It's just a trained civilian. This person is trained, but how do they control themselves? How do they say no to this and say no to that? Discipline. We need discipline. And please do realize, if we're soldiers, that means we're in a war. You don't need a soldier where there's no war. You don't need a soldier where there's no potential of war. You don't need a soldier where there's no potential invasion. Where there's no invasion. Hallelujah. Soldiers are disciplined. Soldiers are people that live their lives according to order, according to a code. There's a particular code. There is a code of conduct. That's why Paul says to Timothy, consider what I'm saying. There is a code. There's a code of the word of God. There are rules in the word of God. There is a way of life in the word of God by which we ought to live. We are under authority. And every authority, in every authority, there is submission and obedience that is required. That man, that officer said to Jesus, me too, I am a man under authority. I'm a man under authority. I also have got people that are under me. I understand authority. I've got people under me that are submitted to me. I've got people under me that are obedient to me. Please do remember, this is the same message that we had. This is a carry-on of the message we had last Sunday. Authority. Authority and submission and obedience to that authority makes a difference between life and death for a soldier. A difference between survival and destruction for a soldier. It's a life and death situation. It is the same thing with us as Christians. You see, without submission and obedience to authority, like I said last week, there is no victory. There isn't. It does not exist. It doesn't exist. Remember, there is only black and white in the spirit. There's no gray. There's only black and white. There are only two opposing kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There is authority in the kingdom of light. There's authority in the kingdom of darkness. Now, one has got to be under one of the two. There's no gray. Are we indeed as children of God? Are we indeed as believers? Are we living under God's authority? And are we giving the due submission and obedience to that authority? He gave to some apostles, to some prophets, to some evangelists, and to some pastors and teachers. Which authority are you under? And it says, for the preparation of the saints for the work of ministry. Which authority are you under? Or you are your own apostle and your own member. You are everything to yourself. We're talking war. That's the picture, the metaphor, the similitude, right? The symbolism, the allegory, the figure that we are given. That's war. We are in a warfare here. There is no demilitarized zone in this world. This world is a war zone, as we're going to see in the next scripture. There is no demilitarized zone. There is no demilitarized zone. Those that make it are those that are under authority. Right? And either it is the authority of God or it's the authority of the devil. And either authority has got its own blessings or consequences. And if we are soldiers of Jesus Christ, we are disciplined individuals. The authority of Christ is our covering. I said the authority of Christ is our covering. I said the authority of Christ is our covering. The authority of Christ covers us. Jesus says to Peter, I say that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the powers of darkness, the powers of Hades shall not prevail against it. Good. Now, that's authority. Which church are you under that is providing you with protection, with covering? Because right there, it says, I'm going to build my church. And those who are under my church, the powers of darkness won't prevail over them. Now, which church are you under? Because church is God's established authority on earth. Which church are you under? He gave the authority to the church. He did not give the authority to Peter. Yes, sir. He said, Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. That authority and power is given to the church, not to an individual. Yeah. Your covering is in the church. The church is the bride of Christ. That's where shelter is. That's where covering is. That's where protection is. There's no gray. There's no gray. These believers who are rogue units. There's no gray. As a soldier. How can you be a soldier who is baseless? Soldier, where's your base? I don't have a base. So you are illegal. This soldier is illegal, this one. And we know that the devil is attracted by illegal things. I say the devil is attracted by illegal things. This soldier is illegal. Soldier, where's your base? Because when the enemy comes to say, I'm a soldier of Christ, the devil says, okay, where's your base? Say, no, I'm baseless. There's no soldier that is baseless. I said, there's no soldier that is baseless. Without a church, you are in danger. And not a church of your choosing, but the church where the Holy Spirit places you. Because the highest authority in the church is the Holy Spirit, Jesus. So you have to be placed. You don't choose your own authority or submission. You have to be placed. Hallelujah. Now, when demons are having a field day over you, over your body, over your life, over your things, over your finances, over your children, you cry foul. But you fail to recognize that you are without shelter, without protection, without divine covering. Oh, come on, go ahead and clap for that. Rogue believers, you will never see such a thing in the kingdom of darkness. Never. That's why the kingdom of darkness is so effective. There are spheres in the kingdom of darkness. There are allocated spheres, allocated areas to say this one operates there, this one operates there, this one operates there, this one operates there. All right? Their commanding officers, when they come, they are seeking for accountability according to where you are placed. Where did the devil get this? He took it from God. That's why the Bible says the angels that left their post in heaven to leave your allocated space, they left their allocated space because God is orderly. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That means the kingdom of God right here is exactly as heaven is up there. There is allocated space. You are allocated to your own post. And Jesus will ask you for accountability according to the area allocated to you. Am I talking to the church? Now, because of that, the enemy comes, he wreaks havoc in our lives. But we are forgetting the things that we are doing without commission. You've opened the door for him. I say the things that we are doing without being commissioned. The things you do without being commissioned by the one under whose name you are speaking, by the one whose authority you are purporting to be using, you're opening the door for the devil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why the demon says to the sons of Sceva, hey, Peter, we know. Paul, we know. But who are you? Why? You see, they took the authority. They took the name. You see, when you take it without and you use it for something you are not commissioned for, you are opening the door to the devil. And he will wreak havoc. But now, the sons of Sceva, the demons, they ask them. Today they won't ask you. They just destroy. Because they want to perpetuate the deception. Today they won't say anything. They will just destroy. Now you notice the more you serve in God, according to your standards, the more you serve in God, the more destruction in your life. The more you serve in God, the more no money. The more you serve in God, the more things, your family is being destroyed. The more you serve in God, your business is going. The more you serve in God, your job is going. The more you serve in God, the more nothing is working. Why? You opened a big door for the devil. You were not commissioned for this. You are not commissioned for this. And innocent people are going to suffer because of you. Even your children might suffer. Failure, sickness, disease because of your ignorance. Not commissioned for this thing. The thing is, when you begin to do these things in the name of Jesus, you are announcing yourself in the spirit realm. You announce yourself. You announce. You say, here I am. I dare you, Satan. Here I am, I dare you demons. Here I am, I dare you fallen angels. You announce yourself. Are you ready for the repercussion? Are you ready for the repercussion? Whew. John 16 verse 33 says, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. This world is a war zone. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have persecution. In this world, you will have tribulation. This world is a war zone, church. There is not a militarized zone. No. It's an army base everywhere. That's why he says, as a good soldier of Christ, you are a soldier because we are involved, we are engaged in a warfare against the armies of darkness in this world. The moment you are born again into it. But there's nothing to fear, he says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But you see, you need to understand to be a soldier, you need to be disciplined. You need to understand to be a soldier, you need to be obedient. You need to understand to be a soldier, you need to be submissive. You need to understand to be a soldier, you need to be humble. That's what he's telling you. But if you don't understand this, you are going to be a casualty. You're going to be collateral damage. Always talking the walk, but never walking the talk. Casualty. No obedience. No submission. No discipline to the commanding officer. To the strict code. The strict code. The word of God that is regulating everything in this kingdom. I say the strict code. The word of God that is regulating everything in this kingdom. He says, consider what I'm saying. Pay serious attention to this. Consider what I'm saying. And he says, other things God will give you understanding. But please, consider what I'm saying. This world is a warfare. And we Christians, we've been sleeping on duty. Sleeping on duty. No soldier sleeps on duty. Even if you sleep on duty, you sleep with your full armor on. You sleep with your armament on. As a good soldier, they never take off their uniform. They never take off their armor. They sleep with these things. Why? Because the war has not ceased. The war has not ceased. If the war has not ceased, that means there is no chance, there is no time to lay down your armor. If the war has not ceased, if the war is still raging on, you cannot lay down your armor. No. And your armament, the word of God, your heavy artillery, your bazooka, the word of God, your heavy artillery is right here with you. You can't lay it down if the war has not ceased. You can't lay the word of God down. The war has not ceased. It's still going on. Because you understand that your enemy, my enemy, is looking for an opportunity, is looking for a chance. The devil is looking for a chance when we least expect. That moment of mistake. That moment of omission. Then it comes. That's all it needs. The little tiny opportunity. Satan is an opportunistic enemy. Tell your neighbor, please. Right. He's looking for opportunities. When you lay your guards down, that's when he strikes. He won't waste his artillery. He won't waste his armament. As long as you are well guarded, he won't touch you. This is why the word of God says, put on the full armor. When you are well guarded, the devil won't touch you. He's waiting for that opportunity when you lay it down. That one moment. That's all he's been waiting for. He's very patient. That's all he's waiting for. Patient. He's patient. He's waiting for that moment to strike. Patient. Patient. You might have kept yourself together. You might have been watchful, right? You might have been vigilant all this time for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. And then after 15 years, there is just that one opportunity. That's all the devil has been waiting for. Now remember, all these years he's been looking at you, waiting for that opportunity. Waiting just for that opportunity. Consider what I'm saying, the elder says. Consider this. Things are going well for us. We slip up. Havoc begins. Destruction begins. But we are not humble to say, no, man, how did this happen? No, 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 no. We want to apportion, want to blame shift. No, 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 no. Sit down, ask yourself, when did this start to happen? What had I done differently when this happened? Then you'll know what happened. That something changed in you. And the destruction started. But because we are not humble people, and that our easiest go to, the devil. The devil. Our easiest go to. There's something that amazed me when I read the Old Testament. You know, there's no emphasis on the devil in the Old Testament. Amazingly, and God has done wonderful things in the Old Testament. Amazing victories and blessings, but there's no emphasis on the devil. Nothing when you read there. But the way we emphasize on the devil in the New Testament, everything is the devil. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 from the TPT. Now it says, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. Now hand-to-hand, that's how close That's how close the war is. That's how close we are to our enemy. Our enemies, our bodiless, our invisible bodiless spiritual enemies. That's how close we are. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Don't take it for granted. You take it for granted at your own peril. Christians, one of the weaknesses of Christians all over is taking things for granted. Taking the devil for granted. Taking the kingdom of darkness for granted. Taking the power of the devil for granted. Taking the power of the kingdom of darkness for granted. These things are powerful beyond measure. Christ has overcome for us, of course. We are more than conquerors in Christ, of course. But we have to be obedient. We have to be submissive. We cannot be rogue units in the kingdom of God. We have to be obedient. We have to be submissive to the word of God in the kingdom of God for everything that Christ has done for us, for that to be in operation as it ought to be, as it should. We must walk in obedience. We must walk in submission. Hallelujah. Listen, verse number 13, now he says, because of this. See, Christians, because of this. But we live as if this does not exist. Can you see? He says, now because of this, this is what you ought to do. But we believers, we live as if this does not exist. As if it's not there. And our unsatisfactory state of affairs that we are in today is because of this that we have ignored. It's because of this that we are taking for granted. Because of this, you must wear all the armor. You must wear all the armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Because the devil does not have a holiday. The devil does not have a rest day. Satan is a brutal leader. He's a brutal ruler. There's no rest for his minions. There's no rest for his demons. There's no rest for his evil spirits. No rest. Their duty is to exterminate us. Their duty is to wreak as much havoc as possible in our own lives. There is no holiday. There's no rest day. It does not exist. That's why he says, put on the whole armor. Don't put it down because the war has not ceased. There are no leave days. Demons don't go on leave. I say demons don't go on leave. Demons don't have public holidays. They don't have festive holidays. They don't have special holidays. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. When do we are destined? The blessings of God are ours, but we must put on the whole armor. The victory is ours, but we must put on the whole armor. The protection is ours, but we must put on the whole armor. We need to be disciplined to walk in all these things that Christ has attained for us. Discipline. As soldiers, discipline, submission, obedience to authority, the hallmarks of being a soldier, of a true, a good soldier in the army. Without that, you can never be a soldier. Listen, without discipline, forget it, you can never be a soldier. you will fail before you even begin. Without recognition or regard to authority, you will fail before you begin. You can never be a soldier. Without obedience and submission, you can never be a soldier. School tried to instill discipline in us. But as it were, when we grew up, we rebelled. School tried to teach us authority. But when we grew up, we became something else. School tried to teach us submission to authority. School tried to teach us obedience to a set code of rules, to make us decent people. But when we grew up, we rebelled. Now we are seeing, we are reaping the consequences of our rebellion. We're reaping the consequences of our rebellion. There is order in the kingdom of God. When we are born again, we are born again into a system, into a culture, into a kingdom with order. There's order in the kingdom of God. You don't do as you please. There's order. There's a system. There's a structure. You don't do as you please. And if you do as you please, you are endangering your own self, and you're endangering even those that are around you. There's order. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we are in a war. Come on, look at that scripture. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we are in a war. So how must we be if we are in a war? That we know that the people that fight wars are soldiers. Only soldiers fight wars. So what kind of a soldier are you? And Paul tells Timothy, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So who is a good soldier? How does a good soldier of Jesus Christ look like? What are the characteristics that make a soldier of Jesus Christ to be a good soldier? So we are in a war. This is a metaphor. It's a similitude. It's a symbolism. It's a picture. It's a figure he's giving you. You are in a war, although in the flesh it does not seem that way. But in the spirit you are in a war. He's giving these things for us to understand. That's why Jesus was teaching in parables, giving pictures and figures, symbolism for people to understand. He was giving things in allegories for people to understand. He was using physical things to interpret, to explain spiritual realities. In the spirit, we are soldiers. Because in the spirit, we are in a perpetual war. Real life is in the spirit. Everything that happens in the physical has been concluded in the spirit. I say everything that happens in the physical has been concluded in the spirit. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we are in a war. We are in a war. But this war is spiritual. How do we know the war is spiritual? Because it tells us we do not war according to the flesh. So the war is spiritual. Soldiers, physical soldiers, although they're in this world, they don't engage, they don't entangle themselves with civilian affairs. That's what it's trying to tell you. Same thought. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we are soldiers, we are in a war, and there are weapons. Do we know our weapons? Every Christian ought to know the weapons. Because every Christian is in a war. Every believer is a soldier. But now, in this warfare, there is an armament that God provides. There's an armament that God gives, that God provides. We ought to be well familiar with it. That means without the weapons, we are mincemeat. Without the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. That means they are very effective. And they've got, they are built for purpose. They are built for purpose. Right? What's the purpose? For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I spoke about this already the last Sunday. The mind, that's the bone of contention. In your life, the bone of contention is your mind. What the devil is gunning for is your mind. All right? Be ye transformed by the renewing on the mind of your mind. To be this soldier of Jesus Christ, to operate as you should, and to have the understanding that you require in this kingdom of God, you need to be transformed in your mind. The bone of contention is the mind. Whoever controls your mind controls you. Whoever controls your mind controls your life. Whoever controls your mind controls your destiny. Who's controlling this mind of yours? The one who controls it controls you. The one who controls it controls your life. The one who controls it controls your destiny. The bone of contention is the mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing. God, Holy Spirit wants to transform us. He wants to transform the way that we think. He wants to change the way that we think. And he wants to do this with the word of God, which is a weapon. Built for purpose. It's only the word of God that can change the mind, that can transform the mind. It's built for purpose. That's what it does. Nothing else can. Nothing else can renew the mind of man but the word. It's built for purpose. It's fit for purpose. Nothing else can renew this mind. The question is, are we being renewed in our minds by the word of God, thereby our lives transformed? How do you know the word renews you? You take it seriously. What you hear preached in church, if it's truly the word of God, you're going to sit on it. You're going to sit on it. You're going to meditate on it. You're going to seek understanding on it. You're going to wait on God on it. You're going to pray on it. And verse number 6, he says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Obedience. Obedience. Now he's telling you the weapons of our warfare, they operate for a soldier that is obedient. These weapons he's talking about on the top verses, they only operate. That's why he says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You cannot operate these weapons under disobedience. If you're undisciplined, we are disobedient, we are insubordinate, this word of God can't work for you as a weapon against the enemy. Can't. That means, as a disobedient pastor, I cannot preach life to someone else. I can preach, because anyone has the ability to preach. Everyone has the power to preach, but it won't impart life. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? As a disobedient pastor myself, if I'm disobedient, I can teach, yes. Anyone can teach, anyone has got the ability. I can preach, yes. Anyone can. They've got the ability. But life, never. The words, Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, says to Nicodemus, they are spirit and they are life. In fact, he didn't say that to Nicodemus, but that's what he said in John 6. The words I speak to you. Why? Because disobedience cannot give life. Insubordination cannot give life. Rebellion cannot give life. Disobedience cannot fight the devil. Ill-discipline can't fight the devil. Insubordination can't fight the devil. You see, some Christians, they fail even before the devil comes. Before the devil even comes, number one, sir, ma'am, we are disobedient to the word. Number two, ma'am, sir, you are insubordinate. Insubordinate simply means you are rebellious. A rebel. You disregard authority. So, that is a failure before even the smallest demon arrives. That's what happens for Jesus.